Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. The Reverend Mark Kiesling is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our reading for today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles, who do not know God, that no one transgresses and wrongs his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts 17 describes the founding of the church at Thessalonica on Paul's second missionary journey. Paul preached Christ crucified for 3 consecutive weeks at the Jewish synagogue, and God worked in the hearts and minds of people, and they joined Paul and Silas. These converts were described as devout Greeks and not a few leading women. However, the Jews became jealous and worked up a mob to confront Paul and Silas and their hosts, forcing Paul to leave the city. In a short time there, Paul was able to teach them about Jesus, God's grace and truth, and about Christian living. And it appears from our text today that sexual ethics were a major part of that teaching, as these new Christians grappled with open sin very present in their daily lives and how to live a life pleasing to God. Paul was clear about his proclamation of the gospel and the teaching on the sanctified life that this was the word and the will of God. This was not the teaching of Paul or of any man, but the very word and teaching of Jesus Christ. Paul and other leaders knew that God required them to teach of the highest standard, and they had no authority to lower that standard. Thus, they refused to allow the practice of the Christian church to be determined by ways of the society around them, no matter how pleasurable they may be. The Thessalonians were called to live in a way to please God, and this was far from leading them into a narrow and cramped existence, but this opened for them the door to the abundant life in Christ. The letter shows us Paul's motivation for teaching God's truth and instructs us as well. The motivation is God's love expressed for the well-being of others and to encourage those who have come to faith in Jesus. Paul writes that amongst them, he was like a nurturing mother. And he now writes this letter to them as an exhorting father, encouraging them to walk in a manner worthy of God. Out of love and concern for the new Christians there, Paul sent Timothy to check in and to provide encouragement for the church. And Timothy brought back the good word that God had strengthened the Christians and they were holding to Christ despite persecution and difficult days. Their faith had not been extinguished by pressures of the world around them, and their love for one another was fervent. What a time to rejoice in the Lord and his good work. Despite the rude treatment of the locals and in the face of resistance and affliction, the gospel took root in Thessalonica by the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul marveled at the work of the gospel and that God had entrusted it to sinners like him. He witnessed it take root, change lives, bring about salvation, bring people to faith, and make them beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. Everywhere, the apostle insists that our salvation is brought not about because we have taken action, but because God has. We cannot remove the burden of our sin, but rely on Christ's atoning work for it all. There is no room to claim credit for coming to faith or turning from sin. God does it all for people dead in their sin, but made alive in Christ. God calls us to be set apart from the sinful world for him, that is, to live in sanctification by the Holy Spirit who works in our hearts and minds. God calls the Thessalonians and us with a definite purpose, and that purpose was not uncleanliness, but sanctification. As we heard in our sermon yesterday, focusing on Genesis, faith is not about the strength, about our strength or our will, but the strength and trustworthiness of the one in whom we put our faith. The giver, the object of our faith, is what gives it power. In the same way, our sanctification is not based on our striving or holy living, but on the one who makes us holy. The one who is holy, our holy God, who made us holy through the innocent and perfect suffering of Jesus Christ. In our struggle with our sinful nature, our old Adam, God uses Paul to give us reminders we constantly need. Scripture's teaching on sexual sin or all sin is as relevant today as it was in the city of Thessalonica or the first century. God's plan and design for our bodies and the gift of sex is generally foreign to those outside the church, and we continually must teach on God's truth and love and design for his gifts. The old Adam takes such pleasure in sin that it tries to convince us that living in the way it wants us to really isn't so bad. It tries to persuade us that how we live is an individual matter, and we shouldn't let other people, or Jesus, impose their standard of morality on us. It is then that we need Paul's reminder. The instruction about holy living found in the Bible are not man's, but are given by the Lord Jesus. God also gives Paul's writing as an encouragement to imitate Paul and Timothy out of love for our friends in Christ. The effort in facing temptation, persecution, and hardship is worth it. God grants us strength to not grow faint and to know joy when God's gospel is at work. Maybe you yourself are a parent, and a child is facing a major transition in life. You pray that through all the challenges, new relationships, new challenges and opportunities, their faith may be strengthened, and that walking with the Lord is a priority in life. Perhaps you are weary from watching your child struggle with temptation. Your prayers in faith are heard. You might struggle with how to still teach the word of God to your older child, but know the Lord is with you in your endeavor. You might be a pastor or church worker who has invested much in young people or people in general. You have taught them the word of God, showed them Jesus' care, love, and mercy. You have baptized them and prayed with them, and you pray for strengthening of their faith and sanctification in their life. Be encouraged by Paul's letter that God is at work through his word and sacrament, even when unseen by us or the person may be far away. God grant you joy for the fruit of his faithful work. Or you might be one who struggles with sexual temptation and sexual sin. May Christ be your healing balm. May his cross revive you for your fight against temptation and stamina for holy living, that you may know his peace. To all of you, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.